This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, a discussion of immigration reform with Michigan Immigrant Rights Center attorney Susan Reed. But first, Aaron Miller represents St. Joseph and part of Cass Counties, which make up the 59th State House District. The Republican was elected to his first term in November. Representative Aaron Miller, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me again, Gordon.
So let's begin with the budget. You're on the Appropriations Committee, one of the committee assignments as a freshman lawmaker, which I think many freshmen covet, actually. Michigan, though, is facing a budget shortfall, and some people might have heard the report on our radio station of John Roberts, the budget director on the Michigan Public Television program Off the Record, saying he would like to look at some legislation, perhaps putting some limits on what, how much businesses can claim on tax credits. Would you be in favor of something like that?
Absolutely. You know, that's all about working out a deal. What we're really dealing with here, though, is contracts. And so, obviously, we need to go back to the dealing table with these big businesses. Most of it is probably the big three, the Chrysler, Ford, and GM auto companies. And so it takes going back to the table and discussing with them prospects. Hey, will, you know, for a little sweetener, will you take out tax credits in an equal increment every year? That will help the legislature and the House Fiscal Agency, the Senate Fiscal Agency, and obviously John Roberts, the budget director, with planning purposes every year. That way we know how much money is really going out of the coffers, because we're talking about, if we have a hole, we're talking about general fund money. And general fund money, I think it's important for the everyday citizen to realize that, yes, we do have a $53 billion budget. However, a great deal of that money is federal money that's given down mostly for Medicaid and for Department of Community Health and Department of Human Services, several other smaller departments.
There's some transportation matching funds.
Correct. There's some transportation. And then you mentioned it. A great deal of the state funding then is just to match to obtain the federal funding. And so when you get down to it, Chairman Al Pasholka of the Appropriations Committee has let this be known many, many times. This is a big baby of his to get this education out, is that really we're talking about $5 or $6 or $7 billion of general fund state money that we can really play with. And then obviously look at corrections. It's about $1.95 billion, almost $2 billion out of that $6 billion that needs to go to corrections. So it's really a small pot of money that we're dealing with. And so it's very important to know how much you're really spending on tax credits every year. That's why predictability is huge in this case. And that's why I think that the legislature and John Roberts would probably even be willing to sweeten the deal just a little bit to trade for some predictability here. So we'll see that in coming months.
How would you sweeten the deal?
I think in adding just small amounts to the tax credits, I think.
But stretching them out over a longer period of time.
No business here is going to look at their contract that they have that's very advantageous to them and say, yeah, sure, I'll stretch this out over a long period of time and give you predictability. What's in it for me is what I see them asking. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will work with the state and help us out with our predictability. I would hope that's the case, but I just look at this as being a need for something in it for them. And so we'll see that in months to come.
A lot of lawmakers have been criticizing actually the use of business tax credits and saying that this was not sound economic policy by the state. And they say that this projected shortfall in the budget is evidence of that. But at the same time, other groups like the Michigan Manufacturers Association are saying, had there not been these credits for the auto companies in Michigan, we would not be where we're at economically right now. Going forward, what do you want to see done? Should tax credits be part of an economic strategy for the state?
I think we learned our lesson. It's important to look at a few things. Governor Snyder has taken pride in the fact that he doesn't lay blame. I'll lay a little bit of blame, but then I'll also defend her at the same time. It was the tax credits at the end of the Granholm administration. However, I'm quick to always point out that we were in a budget crisis. We were in an economy crisis, not just in the nation, but in Michigan, it was really compounded. And so I defend Granholm and the legislature at the time. It was all the Republicans too voting on this. We were in a financial strait that looked like there was no light at the end of the tunnel for us. And this was seen as a savior for the auto companies and then therefore for the whole economy of Michigan. And it was looked at as the only way out. So I defend that era's legislature and Governor Granholm with the point that, look, they were looking for anything to hold up Michigan's economy. Now, with that being said, I don't think it's sound, at least to say for the next 20 years, we're going to allow these businesses to cash in these credits because things change. And we have seen things change now. Now the economy is up, but here we have general fund budget problems because of these holes that were created five, six, and even back to the end of the Engler administration. That's when these mega tax credits were formed. So I point out that this was bipartisan. This was not just Governor Granholm's fault. But I think now we've learned our lesson, and we're going to be learning over the next 15 to 20 years. And so I think that we ought to stay away from just throwing out tax credits. Let's work with businesses to maybe implement programs for all business to promote business, just like Pure Michigan. We're not looking at picking winners and losers with Pure Michigan. We are promoting the tourism industry as a whole. And I think that's generally what the MEDC is doing now, as opposed to the mega tax credits of 2009 and previously. So we'll see that in months and years to come as well.
Of course, much of the attention in the state in terms of the political chattering class right now is focused on May 5th, when voters will decide whether or not the state sales tax is going to go up as part of a plan to boost road funding. Should state lawmakers begin working on some sort of a backup plan, given that the polling right now is not favorable for that sales tax increase on which the entire road funding package hinges?
Right. We're talking about a complete reliance on this May 5th ballot issue, and there should not be a complete reliance on it passing. That's like counting on something happening in the future and then it doesn't. We absolutely, on the appropriation side, the entire legislature really should be looking at Plan B in this case, because that's what voters expect. If the voters reject this measure, and like you say, things aren't looking favorable right now, and I realize things can change in the next couple of months, one thing to point out is that roads are not going to be looking good as we thaw from this additional terrible winter and go into spring. So maybe voters will change their minds. Who knows? But the important thing to realize is that voters want this done. They want the legislature to take care of it somehow. I think some voters were frustrated that the legislature just bounced it back to the people. The legislature should be responsible enough to say, hey, we're going to take care of this problem for our people here in the state of Michigan. So absolutely, we should be supporting a Plan B at this point. We should even be planning in this next year's budget for additional transportation funding. And then if it does happen to pass, too much funding is not a problem. You can always go back and do a supplemental and decrease that budget later. But why aren't we doing it now? That's a good question. And hopefully in the next coming months, with working with the governor's budget, we can look at taking care of this problem once and for all. The governor passed down his budget recommendation with the assumption that it will fail. However, given that, there is not a bump in transportation funding. So it's a back and forth issue. The House Fiscal Agency, the Senate Fiscal Agency, and the budget director aren't planning for this to pass, but we haven't increased funding at all. So in other words, I guess we are planning on it succeeding as an administration, and we should really be coming up with a backup plan.
I realize that this would be a pretty tight deadline to have anything in place by, say, May the 1st, but would it give voters a comparison that, in other words, if you do not vote for the sales tax increase, here is what you're likely looking at in terms of increased fees or other things that might be part of some sort of road funding deal?
Yeah, just to speak to that, it really is weighing the decision for the voters. Voters have to look at, if I'm spending $10,000 in goods, the math is simple. An additional 1% means another $100 in taxes, strictly on your sales tax. Obviously, that's on sales taxable goods. But you have to weigh the decision. Is it $100 of additional taxes every year? And granted, that's strewn out over many transactions over many months with your family and in your budget. You may not even see it, you say. Is that worth fixing our roads and all these things that are going through here. And obviously there are sweeteners in the deal. There's an additional $300 million for schools. There's additional money for revenue sharing for townships, cities, and villages. That's why townships, cities, and villages have signed on to this big time. Yeah, let's call it what it is. It's a sweetener. But that's how compromises get done. Voters are going to have to weigh the choices. And yes, they'll be able to take a look at, I've got this or this, and what do I want? Do I want to fix the roads? I'm in favor of looking at a hybrid plan. Do I stand against any tax increase? No, I don't. There are some who sign pledges for no new tax increases. I think that's short-sighted for what is, you know, what could possibly come down the road. But I'd be in favor of looking at a hybrid plan. Let's get some cost-saving measures in place first. Let's put some transparency into MDOT. That's one thing we're talking about on the Transportation Subcommittee right now. In the next coming weeks, we're hearing from MDOT about that. Let's get some things in place first that help keep MDOT accountable, that help save some money here, and then I'm in favor of a partial tax increase there. That's called a deal. What this is going through here, this is not really a deal. It's just a straight up tax increase. I oppose it, but mostly, for the most part, I'm just educating people about it from an objective standpoint. I'm getting information out to people. I'll just end with this question with saying that when you go to vote on May 5th, you're not just voting on a sales tax increase. Really, you're voting on 10 bills that were tie-barred to this sales tax increase, and not a lot of people know that. There are some good things in these 10 bills. The complaint that is age-old in Michigan is that our gas taxes don't go towards our roads. That is getting fixed. The sales tax is getting transferred from the gas tax to this new sales tax increase, and the gas tax is getting increased basically to refill that void. And this will make the gas tax go towards our roads. That's what people have wanted for a long time. That's a good thing. But there are other things like the school funding and the revenue sharing that I've mentioned that are in these 10 bills that, honestly, voters have to look at all that before they go and vote. They're not just voting on a sales tax increase. And no, all of that $1.74-ish billion of new revenue does not entirely go towards roads. So it's all important things to realize. Part of the 10 bills is car registration fees are going up. So we're looking at a mixed approach here in this compromise. I'm not going to call the whole thing bad. There are good things in the compromise. Again, it's that voters have the choice now to, they have the responsibility rather, to look at both sides and see, what do I want? What's worth it?
But just to be clear, if somebody calls you up and says, Representative Miller, I don't know how to vote on this, what's your recommendation?
I say no. I'd like to come up with a better plan. Again, I'm not saying that to large groups in the district. I'm obviously not using state funding to argue no. This is like a candidate running for office. And as a representative, I can't go off and use my resources to oppose this. That's not what I'm doing.
But you're allowed to have an opinion on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If somebody calls me up and says, you know, what's your personal opinion about this? I'll let them know as I am on the radio show here.
Let me ask you about civil forfeiture. There's a report by the group, the Institute for Justice, which gives Michigan a D- in a report called Policing for Profit. And what they found is that Michigan's laws really do give law enforcement agencies an incentive to seize property because they get to keep it. And they recommend that Michigan should make some changes, and other states have in this area. Should Michigan be also be looking at civil forfeiture and perhaps making some big time reforms?
For sure. This is a no-brainer for me. This is something where also Democrats and Republicans can come together and unite on the issue. We're talking about our citizens. They may get stopped. They may be getting processed or getting questioned. And if there's not an arrest, if there is property seizure going on, that ought to change. And the conversation needs to really get going in Michigan. And I think it has. The Institute of Justice is really helping out with this. I'd like to work with my other representatives, one being Jeff Irwin, who has already spoken out about the issue. He's a Democrat from the Ann Arbor area. I'd like to work bipartisan across the aisle and look at getting this done to where our citizens have some protection. And like you said, the motivation now is that police agencies get to keep this property. that ought to change as well. Why are we talking about police agencies keeping this? It ought to come back, I think, even in the case of an arrest or a felony conviction, or if anybody is charged with a crime. Why is that property being taken away? If it's evidence, that's another story. Then it goes through the proper channels in the court case. But it's something I'd like to learn more about and something I'd like to pursue. I'd like to take a stand against property seizure, again, with my fellow representatives.
Representative Aaron Miller, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Republican Aaron Miller is the representative for Michigan's 59th State House District. That includes St. Joseph and part of Cass County.